And thank you, Mr. Sterner. Good morning again on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Time for our monthly movie mayhem. Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post, the film critic from the Washington Post. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Are they still using that?
They are. It's my favorite. Bob Kaiser, bless his heart, came up with that motto, and it is just a classic.
That's right. If you
Isn't
don't get
great?
It, you don't get it. But we get it once
Yay!
A month on the first Friday with Anne stopping by. We're also hoping to hear from Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival in a bit. But Anne, lots of movies to talk about. Lots of stuff out on the silver screens these
Indeed.
Days. There's this new movie, Spotlight, which is about the investigative section of the Boston Globe back in 2001, breaking the story about the Roman Catholic Church and child sexual abuse. Lots of good buzz about this, directed by Thomas McCarthy and written by him and a guy named Josh Singer. What do you think?
I think so very highly of this film. Where do I begin? And full disclosure, the executive editor of the Globe at that time was a gentleman by the name of Marty Baron, who is now the executive editor of the Washington Post. So full disclosure, he is my boss. But I dare say, even if I didn't know the man, I would still go just over the moon for this film. It is an absolute, it's just a terrific, well-made, well-written, well-directed, and superbly acted. It's a great ensemble piece about this team of reporters who just, you know, do old-fashioned shoe leather reporting at a time before internet. I mean, you know, the internet was just a mere babe. So we didn't have Google. We didn't have a lot of, you know, you even see them using a spreadsheet, which we find out later in real life was the first spreadsheet they ever used. So it's very analog, procedural about how they run down this story. And the acting ensemble includes Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Lee F. Schreiber plays Marty Baron.
He plays your boss.
Mm-hmm. And he nails him. It is just a superb, wonderful ensemble cast bringing this story to light in the most restrained but emotional way. I mean, what knocks me out. You know, Tom McCarthy is one of my favorite filmmakers. He did little films like called The Station Agent, The Visitor, Win-Win.
Oh, I love The Visitor.
All of them. Yeah. Yes, The Visitor is just wonderful. This is, I think, just it just vaunts him ahead in terms of ambition and scope. But he applies the same humanism that he's brought to those projects. He applies the same unerring taste. It is just scrupulously faithful to the reportorial process and, frankly, the filmmaking process in terms of just letting story and character win, you know, take the day. It's just terrific.
And, you know, as things ebb and flow, journalists like lawyers and, you know, public officials, you know, are
That's
high
right.
in esteem, sometimes low in esteem. How does the journalism profession as a whole come off in the light of this movie?
It's gratifyingly, it comes off beautifully. And again, without mythologizing it. And I think, the most recent and obvious comparison is going to be All the President's Men in terms of watching reporters go after a story. But I think this one even resists some of the mythologizing that movie succumbed to, which was great. I mean, it was supposed to be a paranoid thriller, you know, that was very much of its era. And it worked as such. This is not a paranoid thriller. It is a drama. It is just a straight-ahead depiction of events wherein the emotion of the piece really comes from within rather than being imposed in the form of a genre. The Globe itself comes in for some criticism because they did at first they missed the story, which is a fact that actually the filmmakers discovered when they were researching the script. And they took it to the real guys and said, "Hey, we found out that you could have, you know, reported this years earlier, and you kind of didn't." And they acknowledge that in the movie itself, so they don't come off as just untarnished, you know, valiant heroes. But it does show the quiet heroism. You know, you just had Mark in here from the Baltimore Brew. I mean, this is important work, especially in localities. Daily investigative journalism is so essential for our civic life, and it elevates that just beautifully.
Indeed. Anne Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post. It's the Maryland Morning Monthly Movie Mayhem, and joining us now on the phone from Chicago, Illinois, the executive director of the Maryland Film Festival, Jed Dietz. Morning, Jed.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So you were there celebrating a wedding of your son, Robert. That's going to take place tomorrow, I guess. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Very exciting. I do want to mention, I usually charge $50 to sing You Light Up My Life at weddings. But for you, because we are such close personal friends, $34.99, Jed. $34.99. You light up my life. I got to tell you.
And it's going to be right now.
It's going to be right now. I'll tape it for
it's
you.
It's on.
But it's good to have you joining us in the middle of your family festivities. We want to talk, we've been talking about Spotlight, and we're going to talk now about another movie having to do with journalism, Jed, and this is Truth. This is about Dan Rather and the story that ended up bringing his downfall at CBS News. It's about when they reported discrepancies in the military record of George W. Bush. Jed Dietz, what's your take on Truth?
Well, I haven't seen Truth, so I can't jump in too much on that, and I'll defer to Ann. I want to say, I heard the last part of what Ann was saying about Spotlight, and the one thing I wanted to say from a filmmaking standpoint about Spotlight, which is a truly remarkable movie, is it's one of these instances where the filmmakers totally trusted the facts of the case and found drama in those instead of saying to themselves, well, we'll just recreate everything, who cares? And I think they had those reporters, especially Robinson, with them all the way in the process, and they were incredibly well served, and we are as filmgoers too. Yeah. And it doesn't always happen that way, and everything Ann said is right. It's a hugely important story because everything that came out about the suppression of the church, the way the church suppressed fact stuff, was really hung on this incredible reporting.
Yeah, and it really is easy, I think, for filmmakers to succumb to the temptation to over-romanticize and over-heroize, some of these figures. And
inject those quote-unquote movie moments. And, we will talk about we can talk about Truth in comparison to Spotlight.
Yep.
Because in real life, it shares some DNA in the form of Walter V. Robinson, whom Jed just talked about, who was the leader of the Spotlight crew at the Globe, but had also investigated that Bush National Guard story himself. And the Globe had been on that years earlier. Truth is a film. It's very stylish. It's very well made. Cate Blanchett plays the producer, Mary Mapes. Robert Redford, I think, even though he doesn't really make an effort to look like Dan Rather, he's captured his voice with uncanny, that timbre and that Texan twang, that subtle twang. Where I think Truth meets its downfall is exactly where Spotlight doesn't, which is it never really, I don't think, it depicts Rather and Mapes as victims and martyrs of this big, bad corporate political culture.
Mapes is Mary Mapes, who's the producer,
who was
behind the story.
Right, who had rushed this story to air at the pressure of their bosses at CBS, but still they went ahead and rushed it. And it fell apart. And I think what Spotlight shows is journalistic restraint, where they don't rush a story. They insist upon holding back. And the film itself is restrained aesthetically at the same time and is the better for it. And so you sort of, I wish if I were to have a wish for Truth, it would have been a little bit more self-awareness and a little bit more self-criticism on their part that they did miss the story and they shouldn't have.
Of course, it's based on the memoir about that incident that Mary Mapes wrote.
Yeah, so it's going to be self-serving.
So obviously it's going to be self-serving.
But I think as a film, you don't have to be self-serving. I mean, I think that's a filmmaking choice. You can, just as Spotlight includes some self-criticism, which the reporters themselves didn't have in their book or in their account. Nobody knew about it. It was in the archive. So that's a narrative choice. That's not, you don't have to follow that to the letter. And so I think that is it's a crucial weakness in Truth, but it's a very absorbing, well-made film. I mean, I don't want to damn it with fatal criticism.
Mm-hmm. Jed, how about Brooklyn? Have you seen that one?
I have seen Brooklyn, and it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. I think the John Crowley, the director, interestingly, like another director's movie is coming out this week. Room studied philosophy. he has a great stage career, having directed a lot at Donmar Warehouse in London and Martin McDonagh's plays, The Plowman and stuff on Broadway. What he's done here in Brooklyn is to adapt Emma Donoghue's book. Actually, she wrote the screenplay and tells a story about the process of leaving home, in this case, an Irish girl leaving her small town in Ireland to go to the big city.
This is in the 1950s. Yeah.
But I think, exactly. I don't want to jump, Jen. I think you just collapsed Room into Brooklyn. It's the Colm Tóibín film the Colm Tóibín novel that Brooklyn is based on, not Emma Donoghue.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Nick Hornby wrote the screenplay, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Thanks.
Other than that, you had it all exactly right, and we appreciate it. And your toast tonight at the rehearsal dinner is destined to be classic, because you're on a roll already here, bro. Let me tell you, that's good. but this is a movie that's getting a lot of really good buzz.
Yeah, it's I thought it was just wonderful.
Yeah, and it's actually going to be there's a sneak preview of it up in Owings Mills on Tuesday night at 7:30 at the AMC Owings Mills Brooklyn.
I'm going to be there, and I've already seen it, but I can't wait to see it. It's just beautiful. Yeah. It's really lovely.
There's this new movie that's directed by involves Juliette Binoche. It's called The Assassin. And I understand that Anne Hornaday, this is also a movie that's getting a lot of buzz.
Right. And now I didn't realize that there's another movie called The Assassin that is not this one that I did see. So I'm going to have to recuse myself on this discussion because I haven't seen the Juliette Binoche one. Sorry.
All right. And of course, I haven't seen it either,
Jed,
because as our listeners know, I have a pathetic life. I never see any movies. I think the last movie I saw was Seabiscuit, for God's sake. So, Jed, I don't know. Have you seen The Assassin?
I have, but I've seen Ho Chien's The Assassin, which is also an incredible movie.
That's the one
A piece of poetry, a Taiwanese filmmaker shot the film largely shot in China, and it's a lyrical story that's set at the end of the Tang Dynasty.
Okay, so we're talking about the one I did see. It's beautiful, visually ravishing. I didn't understand one. I think you really do have to bring, the more knowledge you bring of Chinese dynastic history to this, the better off you are. Because I honestly, I didn't understand 1 minute of it.
It's
really pretty.
I haven't understood the last minute of our conversation, so now we're all even. That's all good. So we're all on a roll here. All right, how about Suffragette? I have seen the trailer of that one, so I feel like I'm an expert on it. Frankly, this looks very good. This is Carey Mulligan's, it stars Carey Mulligan as Maud Watts, set in the early 1910s in London, about, you know, women taking a stand. Anne Hornaday, this is a good one.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, it's interesting. Last year we had these movies like Birdman and Boyhood that were really taking all these bravura formal risks, and this year we have this crop of films that are really pretty straight ahead, but just as well made and kind of exhilarating for their classicism. This is a very straight ahead historical drama, filled by a director named Sarah Gavron, like you said, about this particular period in the fight for women's vote in Britain, at a point where their tactics were stepping up a notch and they were getting more into militancy and violence. And Carey Mulligan plays this laundry worker who sort of comes into consciousness and becomes an activist. And, you know, look, the filmmaking, I think, has a few wobbles. I think, you know, there's a little bit of unevenness and a little, some things are not quite as convincing as others. But her performance is one of the great screen performances of this year. I mean, she just, what she is able to convey in one look and one facial expression over a moment, it's just magnificent. And she's ably supported by people like Helena Bonham Carter and the wonderful English actress named Anne Marie Duff, who has done a lot of stage work and I'm a huge fan of, but she just turns in this really spirited, feisty performance. Meryl Streep has a cameo as Emmeline Pankhurst, but really this is Mulligan's movie. And she owns it from the first shot to the last. And if anything, it's worth it just to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Jed, what do
it's
you think?
Beautiful.
I haven't seen Suffragette, but I can't wait.
So we've got a lot of stuff to do together here, Jed.
It's a good time to be a moviegoer.
You and I have a lot of dates we got to have. another woman, Sandra Bullock, stars in a movie called Our Brand Is Crisis. Now we are getting into the political season, and this is a movie about a political campaign. Sandra Bullock's Scoot McNairy, Billy Bob Thornton, Anthony Mackie, and Ann Dowd. Jed, how about this one?
I haven't seen this one either.
So you have really been planning this wedding pretty seriously, haven't you? Are you doing the flowers for this thing? Is that what's taking all this time? Very good. Anne, you wrote about this,
yes,
I think, right?
Yeah, and this was a miss, unfortunately. It had all these ingredients of being such a timely and potent and pungent political satire. What it wants to be is something on a level of Wag the Dog, which, you know, is really just such a great example of the form. And it doesn't get there. I think tonally it's off. It's based on this documentary that came out a few years ago about the real life case of James Carville going to consult with a political campaign and kind of bringing American marketing values to another country's political culture. And Bullock kind of plays his role. It's a wonderful role for her, and she's just an awful lot of fun to watch. And Billy Bob Thornton's a lot of fun to watch. But I just don't think they found the right tone or the right story to tell with this one.
And Jed, as we finish up, let's talk about a movie that I know you have seen. This is Room, which is a Canadian-Irish drama thriller. Lenny Abramson, this is the one written by Emma Donoghue, based on her novel. This sounds like a pretty good one, too, as well.
This is remarkable, anchored by one of the great performances on film by a young actress named Brie Larson, who is in a film called Short Term 12 and has been in a bunch of stuff, but that sort of put her on the map for a lot of people.
This is about a mother and a five-year-old son who really are basically confined to this room.
The book is revered. I have not read the book, but I would just urge everybody to go into the movie knowing as little as possible about what happens, because the way the filmmaking reveals the situation is really fun to experience. And I would say the other thing is it's an incredibly uplifting story, ultimately.
Right.
Get through, but uplifting.
Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival, Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post, thanks to you both. We will see you next month.
Thank you.
Thanks.